I'm believing everyone needs to have ears to hear and eyes to see what the Lord wants us to see. The problem with the spirit we're going to deal with later on tonight is the spirit of a scorner, the being in the scornful and the counsel of the scornful. And the problem with this spirit is one of its main attributes is that it has you self-deceived. So you'll see that everybody else has it, but you won't think you have it. And so you need to really listen and not let your defenses go up to stop you from hearing if this is about you. Because that's what it purposely does. It purposely stops you from thinking it's about you. You'll think it's about everybody else, or you won't think it's that serious, or you'll think, well, we've dealt with that. But the Lord's given me a pretty strong description of the spirit. And so we're going to be dealing with that tonight. This is all part of the same thing God's been tearing down for about a year in this ministry. And when Satan attacks people, he'll give different people a stronger, like the spirit behind it is really haughtiness. But the enemy will pick certain things that he's either had you judge, you made a vow about, you have a gifting that would be the true of this. So if you have that gifting call in your life, Satan's going to attack that big time with the counterfeit. And so what we've dealt with haughty, but some of you haven't really let go of it. All of us a little bit, because there's all these different aspects of it. And so let me just read this thing about haughtiness, and you're going to see some things we've really dealt with. And this scornful is in here, but this is from Breaking Generational Curses, Pulling Down Strongholds. And when I studied this and I looked in both the dictionary and the scriptures, you know, this is really on target for describing this spirit that God was dealing with me to deal with tonight. And the things about it is pride. Pride is independence from God. So I don't think that pride is a spirit. I personally don't think that pride is a spirit, but pride is a fruit. It's a result of being haughty. It's a result of being independent. And that would come into your life if you think, I don't need anybody. Because everybody needs God. And as a child, you need your parents to represent God for you. But if you've been hurt and hurt and hurt, or you'll grab onto, I don't need anybody, I can be independent. And that's a big part of this. When Satan became independent from God and chose to use his talents and his gifts, and he didn't want God involved in it anymore, that was pride. And that's when he fell from grace. Indignation, conceit, superiority feelings. We've talked about a lot of these things. Arrogance is a false boldness. Arrogance is a boldness, not of the Holy Spirit. It's a demonic boldness to bully people and to make yourself feel like you're right. And we've talked about that before. Most of this is on other tapes. Attention seeker, look at me attitude. We called it, one thing we did, it's not out yet, but it will probably go with this teaching when it comes out, is being self-absorbed, focusing everything around self, because the enemy tried so much to make you either hate yourself or to disappear from the scenario. So you took on something to make sure you were seen. Boastful bragger. It's amazing because it can go to the other extreme of idleness. You basically just don't do much and you can't seem to accomplish much. And it's hard to imagine that being part of haughtiness and pride. But it's actually, according to what he came, part of that. And it's also something I did see when I studied the spirit of scornful. Domineering, which is controlling. Manipulative. Impatient. You want what you want and you want it now. Actually, you want it yesterday. Self-righteous. Self-righteous is really an indicator if you really don't understand how somebody else could do what they did. If you're in here and you couldn't understand how Norman could have fallen into that sin of going back and doing that drug for that short time, if you can't understand how he could do that, you are self-righteous. You are self-righteous. You think it's within yourself to stop the enemy. You don't understand the power of the enemy. And you think you have the ability somehow in your thinking and your superiority to stop Satan's plans. You have nothing outside of what the Holy Spirit does for you and where the Holy Spirit takes you and how he leads you. You just have nothing. You don't realize you have no power over the demonic except what the Holy Spirit in you gives you. And so there's no, one of the biggest things I see about this whole thing of haughtiness and pride is what its major feature that I see that it lacks is compassion. So it would make sense that God's dealing with all this in this ministry and in my heart since I asked him for compassion 9 or 10 years ago. Takes a long time to get compassion. But compassion is understanding where people are coming from because it's been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. And you no longer judge things because you realize if it wasn't but for the grace of God, that could be me. If it wasn't but for the grace of God, I would be just like that, or I would be doing those kind of things. Where self-righteousness constantly says, I don't see how they could do that. I don't have that problem. I don't have problems like them. You know, you're like put yourself on a higher place than other people as if by some act of your own, you were spared what some people have been through. And actually, many of you have been through some of the same things. Your coping mechanism is pride instead of low self-esteem, eating the tree of good instead of eating of the tree of evil. And it's actually harder for people who eat of the tree of good to ever really get real with God. Because you can take care of everything yourself. That's why the most powerful testimonies seem to come from people who ate of the tree of evil. And everybody's like, whoa. But when we all get really real and we start realizing, oh my gosh, you know, I was haughty. I put everybody else down. I thought I was superior. I did all these things. I hurt as many people with my attitude as someone who was, you know, hurting people by, you know, stealing and lying and robbing banks. And actually it could do even more damage to your children. It could do even more damage in relationships because it's really hard when somebody has these characteristics. It's really hard for you to point at them and somehow blame them for your issues, where it's very easy to blame an alcoholic parent or a drug addicted parent. It's very easy to see how that hurt you. But this thing is so hidden in what looks right. This is so hidden in opinion and what looks right that it's much more difficult for people to get free from this abuse that comes into their lives when people operate in the spirit, especially if they add to that being a Christian, or if they add to that even a religious spirit or false spirituality. It's very confusing. This has with it stubborn and rebellious. Part of this spirit has to do with being overly foolish to cover up the spirit. Now I'm saying, and when you start to see it manifesting in ways that you can't put out a teaching tape, it was actually one of the things God used to show me to do this teaching. And the Lord showed me some of the goofy things in my past and the over happy, the over this, the over that. It's overcompensating for meanness down in your heart that you don't want to get close to and you don't want anybody to see it because you don't want to deal with that. It's there. Well, it's very humbling. It's very humbling when God shows you that what you use to cover up these demonic spirits is not his answer. It can make in the natural people maybe think you're okay or like you or overlook some of these things. But God's not overlooking these things tonight. Why is he dealing with us so strict? Why has God taken us to such a place of purging and cleansing? Because we're asking him to. Most of the church isn't asking him to. But if you're asking to be made perfect, it's going to be painful. But when you get on the other side of it, you're going to be like Christ. When you get on the other side of it, all these things that are deep hidden in your heart that you can't even know is going to be gone and healed by the power of God. And you are really going to represent Christ to a hurt world. It's going to be awesome. The power he's going to entrust you with, the love and compassion you're going to walk in is going to be unbelievable to you. And he needs someone who will cry out, I'm not just saying justice, but someone who will say, I want to be holy. I want to be perfect. I'm willing to go there. It's easy to say, but it's painful. If you haven't yet had any pain from inner healing and deliverance, and when I talk about pain, I'm talking about seeing yourself in a way that hurts because it wasn't your intention. It wasn't what you thought you were doing. You'd never meant to do that to anybody. You didn't mean to hurt your children. You didn't mean to give them issues and make them take on coping mechanisms. But the truth is we all have without Christ, and I don't think there's a single person in this place who was raised in a completely spirit-filled, led by the Holy Ghost, protected by the power of God home. I don't know if that's even around too many places in the body of Christ, especially in America. And so we have to realize that God is serious. When we ask these prayers, God, fill this house with your glory. Lord, change me, use me, change my heart, make me like you. It is painful. If it wasn't painful, this place would be full. If it wasn't painful. And pain hurts. And God's saying, get rid of the covers up. You know, when Norman fell into sin, the thing that was the most irritating is he came in with the fake happy. He came in with a really fake happy. And it really irritated Irene more than anything else about what he had done. People don't realize that if you get real and take off the mask and people actually see that you're human and that you hate it when you hurt people and that there's really you need forgiveness and you need deliverance and you need to repent, it actually makes you more real and not so superior and not so haughty and not so untouchable. And it's what's really missing in the body of Christ. And God's changing that here. And I think that's exciting. That's why his presence is in this place so thick. That's why his presence was during the worship and the praise so thick tonight. I want to be different. And it is painful. And God lets me lead the way. So I never ask you to repent of anything or humble yourself, if you want to call it publicly, unless I've done it. I've had people tell me, somebody told me this week, wow, I love your radio show, but wow, you really repent of stuff all the time. The Lord really won't let me almost teach anything that he doesn't reveal at least a speck of it in my heart. When we dealt with the one thing on haughty, it wasn't a speck, it was a gigantic glob. And we're despecking it. We're taking off the darkness. And so this, though, has held it in for some people. When we talked about mockery, we got very close to talking about scornful. But we didn't quite get it. Mockery is about rolling your eyes, making fun of, making light of, what's the word when you're copying somebody? Mimicking or imitating someone else behind their back in a humorous way. Making fun of Jim Baker, making fun of the woman on TBN, making fun of as if you're the judge, as if you have a right to do that. God's not laughing with us. Oh, you can feel the prophetic. Everybody get whopped tonight, anointing. You know what? God only does this because he loves us. And he's only doing it to this degree because we're asking to be like him. I just never knew when I prayed that prayer, oh Lord, reveal all my wickedness, show it to me, because I read it in Psalms from David. I really didn't know it was going to take 9 years of him showing me all this junk. I am believing, and I don't know for sure that this will happen, but I am believing that when God gets us to a certain place and a certain amount of people who can be laborers to bring forth this next move of God, whoa, that they have compassion, real compassion, and they won't get haughty with what God is going to do. I believe that God's going to bring an anointing of the fear of the Lord and the power of God in this place because of the compassion and the prayers and those crying out for something really real, for God to reveal himself. I believe people are going to walk in this place and be completely delivered in what took us 9 years to get to. And God popped in my spirit today that scripture that says, you know, those who come in the last hour get everything that you've worked to get. And don't become jealous of it. So don't get all bent. And let's not get into legalism and formulas when God begins to move like that. And people come in here and the presence of God is so thick that they're instantly healed of everything that we've done on the tapes. Thank God, or we'll never get out of here if we got to perfect a bride. You know, I mean, if everybody has to come in and start on the 10-year program, you know, oh, Lord. It's going to be a long haul. So my prayer is, I don't care. We can burn the tapes if we get to a point where we don't need them. But I'm really, the Lord is beginning to give me a vision of people walking in and instantly being healed of mental retardation, instantly being healed of emotional abuse, instantly being healed and set free from a party spirit, a religious spirit. All the things he's teaching us, all the things he's showing us, all the things that he's working in us that we can have compassion to believe for God to move like that. God wants to deal with this other one as we get to it. The other things that go along with haughtiness, we've talked about gossip, especially malicious gossip. Purposely letting the enemy use your mouth to cause other people to think badly about someone else. Just enjoying something in you, getting a kick out of putting somebody else down or other people thinking bad about somebody. Even if it's true and it's not spoken in love, it's gossip. There is an exposing darkness. There is a true prayer to set people free. But God can't even entrust that to us until he gets these things out of our hearts, because it's going to come back and zap us because of the enemy in our heart that's going to take it and cause it to get that ugly thing on it that's going to empower Satan to hurt people. A big ego. This is a big one. Look at this one. Needs to be right all the time. If you find yourself always right, or if you're not right, or somebody won't agree with you and you still think you're right, if somebody won't agree with you and you always still think you're right, you have this. You still have this indicator of scornful. It's like there's no compromise with you. But it's not a Holy Ghost, no compromise on truth. It's an opinion, which is witchcraft. One thing that jumped out at that Bob Jones video that we watched a couple weeks ago, that was so powerful, was when he said, opinion is as witchcraft. God gave me that years ago. What is opinion? It's your carnal mind coming up with answers or coming up with conclusions or coming up with judgments that are not being given to you on the Holy, by the Holy Spirit based on what he wants to do at that time. And as you move into the anointing of God, especially if you've been given a gift of wisdom, if God wants to use you in wisdom, if people really usually agree, boy, she really thinks things through, or she's really smart, or her advice is really good. If people come to you for advice, even maybe your whole life, even before you knew Christ, but you seem to have a gifting of helping people with problems. You have a gifting of ministering to people in areas where they've been hurt. Do you know what I'm saying? If you're a person and people come to you and ask you things or want prayer, this kind of thing, you are a target for Satan to give a scornful, to make you scornful, to make you opinionated. Why? Because Satan's going to attack what he sees God's going to use you for. And we haven't gotten through this walk in life without picking up some of this junk, okay? You know, my biggest prayer tonight is I was praying, as I've been praying for at least 3 days for this meeting, and I don't usually do that, but I have really been praying and crying out to God, is that those who have self-deception will see themselves, because God is going to remove people from this ministry who continue to walk in haughtiness. Because he's not going to allow anybody to touch his glory and what he's going to do in this place. The fear of the Lord is going to begin to come in this place in a powerful way to change things and to deliver people from Satan's hold and to do miraculous things that's going to make us all amazed. But God doesn't want us to get burnt in the fire. He doesn't want us to have something of the devil in us that's going to begin to take credit for or touch what he's doing or touch the kids that he brings in here or touch the hurt or the wounded people that walk through these doors. God's not going to tolerate it. He's not going to tolerate it. And so to the point that you minister here, to the point that you're on the board, or to the point that you have any position in this ministry, or then to the point that you're leading in any capacity in a group, and then to the point that you're here, that you've been here, you know you're called here, I'm telling you, God wants you to have your eyes open and your ears to hear. He wants you to hate what he hates and get rid of your coping mechanisms to make it cute, get rid of your coping mechanisms to make it funny or foolish, and open your ears to hear tonight, because the Holy Spirit is doing something powerful in this place tonight, which is exciting if we get a hold that he wants to use us and he wants to use this ministry to set his most hurt people free.